Hello, welcome to another edition of the Marvin Byrd Show. I'm your host, Dr. Marvin Byrd. It has indeed been a while. Full disclosure, I recently had my tonsils removed. And for those of you who've had your tonsils removed as an adult, we are in a club together because for the kids, it takes a good, I don't know, maybe 3 to 5 days to recover before an adult. It takes what seems like forever. And so for a while after I had my tonsils removed, I could not talk. It hurt to talk. And so I have been out of it for a while. And even now, as I'm talking to you now, there's just a little bit of pain. And so I'm not quite myself. But I wanted to get this out to you because I actually recorded this interview with Derek Lopez before I got my tonsils taken out. So I wanted to share this with you. This individual, Derek Lopez, he's not an educator, but he is a passionate supporter of education, and his story is so compelling, and it just drives home the point that it does take five different groups of people working together in order to promote student success. And those groups of people are the students, teachers, their parents, their administrators, and their stakeholders. And all those people, they work in concert with one another. And he is definitely active within his community and across the country as well in promoting student success with his idea that he just stumbled upon through personal experience with his child. But before I get to that, I want to encourage you to follow me on Twitter. That's at Marvin Byrd. You can also follow the brand on Twitter. That would be at Marvin Byrd LLC. So please follow me there. Additionally, I'd like to encourage you, please, to support the things that we do here. Whenever you shop at Amazon, please use this link. Use marvinbyrd.com/Amazon. And again, that's marvinbyrd.com/Amazon. And whenever you buy something from Amazon, we get a little bit of commission on that sale. And so that helps to fund the things that we're doing here. And I would greatly appreciate that. And I've got some wonderful ideas about the future, and I can't wait to share those with you. And so by doing that, by going to Amazon through marvinbyrd.com/Amazon, you are helping us to get these wonderful things out there to educators and students as well on the Vision Chasers side of the business. So please remember that is marvinbyrd.com/Amazon. Thank you so much. So let's jump into this. Here is this wonderful interview with Derek Lopez from Stand Up Our Kids. Derek Lopez, I'm so happy to have you on the show. Derek Lopez is a stand-up guy representing Stand Up Our Kids. He's got a very interesting story, and he has a unique idea that he came by through just a personal experience. And so, Derek, you there?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. 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 So Derek, what I want you to do first is let's just introduce yourself, tell your story. And I want the audience to just feel the same passion that I felt from you when I first talked to you, about this unique idea, this aha moment that you had with your son when he was starting school. So just go for it. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to get on your show. I'm actually a fan, subscribe to you on iTunes, and
I appreciate that.
Very interesting time right now in education. And for me personally, I have kids that are entering young school. My kid, my firstborn son, when he entered kindergarten, he broke his leg at 5 years old. And spent most of his first half of kindergarten in a wheelchair. Family, I have three kids, And, you know, we ski and hike and do a lot of the typical Colorado stuff. And in this whole time frame, I was very, very down on the situation and pretty negative and feeling bad that, you know, my son had to start his school experience, which is something parents are so excited for. At least I know we were excited.
Yeah.
It was a big bummer for him to start off sitting in this wheelchair in kindergarten for 4 months. And so in that time frame, you know, I wanted to get close with him and support him through the experience. And so, you know, I volunteered a few times and was in the classroom. And, you know, I said, if we cut out recess, he's essentially, I don't feel so bad because he's actually sitting down just as much as the rest of the students, which is essentially all day.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought this idea to the principal of maybe getting some stand-up desks. And the principal is super open-minded. However, one of the vendors that was quoted was super expensive, and you know, it wasn't on the docket for PTO that particular year in the budget, and it might have had, you know, getting pushed to the following year. And so I said to myself, you know, I don't really want to wait a year. I want my son to get the stand-up desk experience. Maybe not necessarily in kindergarten, but if we can raise enough money and get some desks, maybe in this first grade experience. So in about 3 weeks, we raised almost $2,000.
Wow.
Roughly, like, I think $1,800 on
That's
the GoFundMe.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I was kind of blown away. One of my first experiences, I had only one other before, but on crowdfunding and GoFundMe and just using the internet to raise money in this form or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of surprised, and it was a great, great thing that happened. We got the about six people, wrote up a nice little organized schedule where teachers could sign up for it and have it in their classroom for a few weeks at a time. And they would just rotate these desks to the school to it, acclimated to it, and exposed to the idea of the whole thing. And, it's still thriving today. And so, I just figured that out of this GoFundMe experiences, we did it for a few other schools and created some test pilots.
Right.
And and all we're doing now with the test pilots is gaining data and feedback and information. And simultaneously, I started manufacturing my own desks.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be one of the first youth stand-up desk providers here in Colorado. The whole company was started. We actually just got our first sale last week, believe it or not.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, so we are officially official. Westgate Elementary in Jefferson County, Colorado, and they are our first customer. That's actually where I was tonight doing some collaboration stuff. But
perfect.
Officially official, and we just are now trying hard to put the message out there on social media.
Okay, so there's a couple questions that I have there, but before I get to those questions, I just want to introduce the show. You're listening to the Marvin Bird Show, and we're talking with Derek Lopez, who is representing Stand Up Our Kids, and he's promoting these desks that allow students the option to stand up. And so, Derek, You skipped something, and you probably were going to get to it, but I want the audience to know just how all into this idea you actually are. So you talked about how you started a company, you closed the deal, which is awesome. But just talk about how you started it, or what you used to start this company.
So really, it was all I did was, at the end of the day, was and these test pilots to really create a movement. And so I have an Instagram page, a Twitter page, a YouTube channel, blog, a podcast, and just using all these tools to the best way possible. But at the same time, you know, I mean, if you look at the situation, it comes to schools, you know, my goal was, well, if I get these test pilots going, then I can start figuring out what the key components are. And what we've heard back, actually, from the test pilots, and where we're going to draw more, you know, information out of is that whole experience of choice and I know flexible seating is important, but the actual seating part, it might be something that might, you know, is in question, because whether their kids are, you know, whether you have a normal kid or an ADHD diagnosed child or diagnosed with sensory processing or any other things, you know, regardless, all kids, we believe, should have the opportunity to stand up.
Absolutely.
And the choice and the self-awareness where they can go into a classroom. And we just interviewed a teacher about this. Is, you know, they come in the classroom and they have their choice. They have their ownership piece. We've noticed out of these test pilots is what is important. And so I've started to create a brand around that idea. Let these kids stand up for themselves. Let them stand up for their dreams. So it's not just the furniture, you know, kind of changing the dynamic of the experience, but it's the actual experience of getting to have that choice and taking Absolutely. That ownership in your education experience. And so that's kind of what I noticed. Initially, I got to be honest, I started the idea with more of like the fit, active kid that, you know, kids sit down 5 to 10 hours a day, let's let them stand up. And I think that's super important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at childhood obesity, you know, unfortunately growing still, you know, the fitness and the active part is definitely important and one of the highlights. But we've noticed through the test pilots, like I said, and what we're pushing out more on social media and the messages is it's the ownership, right?
Yes.
And the fact that, you know, my son actually end of desk experience in his first grade, he got a float, a rotational desk. So the teacher requested it. He got it for a few weeks and then he had to give it up to another classroom. Now, second grade, he has his own. And, in 3 months from 20 words per minute to 80. And I don't think it's just the piece of furniture, but I do think that, cause he's told me, he feels like he's being heard. He mm-hmm. feels important because his opinion matters. And he tell me he's like that. And he, you know, he's very active like me, but like, you know, athletic and moving around and yada, yada. And
right.
he just said, Dad, I just get so tired of sitting all day. And I said, hey, let's make a deal. If I get you a stand-up desk, you know, what can we hold you more accountable? Will you give the teacher more attention? Stop goofing off. Cause he was goofing off. He was
right.
goofing off and couldn't sit still. And I'll tell you what, once we got on the stand-up desk, not only could it get the jitters out and get his foot wiggling around and stand up and get some of that energy out, but also he was just like, all right, this is mine. Like
mm-hmm.
I made a statement. I put a suggestion box and I've been heard. And now the accountability is there. As teacher, I told him, look, just so you know, like, your teacher's in on this. I'm in on this. We're here to support you. But I said, I made a deal with your teacher. If you don't listen and if you don't sit down and get engaged and interact and get involved in the classroom, we're going to have to just take it away. And honestly, in the last 4 months, 3.5, 4 months, there's been zero problems with that. I mean, now he's now coming home sharing content because I feel like personality, his brain's moving a little faster. He's standing up. His heart rate is going a little bit better. And he just engaged and listening more. Now he's coming home with stories and content. And it's just really cool. It's just really cool.
That is awesome. And I want to jump in there because definitely when I talk to teachers about classroom leadership, one of the first things that I mention is the importance of giving students that ownership, allowing them to make their own decisions. And so I think this is, you know, where they sit and, you know, where they sit in the room and whether or not they sit or stand, that's a huge decision. And to, I believe in to give that decision to the student where you could either sit or you can stand. I mean, I'm certain that does something to their brain, and it just opens them up to, you know, being open to all kinds of different possibilities. If they're given the power to make such an important decision, because typically, you know, when kids walk into a classroom, there's a seating arrangement that the teacher has already made out and whatnot. And so allowing the students to stand, I just think that is just amazing. And, you know, as you said with your son, you're seeing some results, and obviously, as you probably already know, in talking with principals and teachers, that, you know, they want to know about the data, they want to know about the results as well. And so happy to hear that you're getting some results, and so that's awesome. But one of the things that I wanted you to say when I asked you about you being all in, you know, obviously these desks are not free. There's a cost associated with the desks. And so I want to swing back to that. And I want you to just tell, how did you start this company? What did you use to fund this company?
Oh, yeah. I guess I missed that piece. I get what you're saying now. Yeah. But yeah, totally. So I guess that maybe shows you how much I don't necessarily think is as important, which I think is actually so huge in the story. So
yes, it is.
I cashed out my 401k to do this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
say that again, because I talked over you when you said it. How did you fund this business initially?
Yeah, so I started with cashing out my 401k. I mean, initially it was just some side money for my day job, just whether it was to buy the first couple samples of the desks or buy the video camera to start doing videos, or, you know, the website membership. But, you know, yeah, I cashed out my 401k, and that's to that point when you have to talk to your wife about that.
Wow.
I think that's where, you know, you have to really, and that's, you know, part, it's kind of twofold, right? It's the risk, but the risk and the diving in and that whole story, you know, I'm okay with being vulnerable and exposing that, right? So, because I think where we're going right now in business, and I think, you know, you're pretty heavy on Twitter and podcasting, and you're pretty understanding of social media. A lot of people are looking for that raw truth. I hate to say reality television, right? Because it's not necessarily what it is, but reality content, stuff that's real, stuff that's raw, where
you can connect to
people are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can connect to. And I think that's where people maybe start understanding the validity of my story, is that, you know, gosh, this dude's really serious about this. Like, he cashed out his 401k.
Right.
I paid some penalty fees too, you know, so I lost some money. And I think what I'm honestly trying to say there, and what I'm trying to do, is that a lot of us want maybe to invest those dollars, you know, in resting and relaxing after 60, right? And chilling out and doing those things. And I totally respect the retirement account and the ideas of financial planning and being smart about it. I totally, totally, totally respect that and understand that. However, I do think, you know, when you dive into something, there's timing. And, you know, I truly believe that our education system is going to continue putting its hooks into social media, gaining new ideas, new innovation,
yes,
and ultimately start implementing them. I genuinely, after being just diving into education the last 15 months and reading books and being on Twitter for endless hours, I don't find it honestly to be useless time. Like, a lot of people, like, I guess I've just set up my feed differently than others. I mean, you're a PhD, you have your own podcast. I mean, I love your content, and you're the type of people that essentially I follow, and I've actually genuinely feel like I've set this thing up, this social media thing, where I'm making person, I'm more informed, I'm more educated. I mean, between your podcast, Don Wetrick's podcast, you know, I mean, you go down the list of all these you have access to. So I think the fact that that opportunity was so big, I said, cashing out my 401k is a small piece to a really, really big picture here.
Right.
A really big picture. And it is organically growing. The audience is growing. The people that are getting engaged, that are coming to me, is growing. You know, we're officially an approved vendor at one of the largest, you know, school districts in the greater Denver area. So, I mean,
that's awesome.
I don't mind stacking one brick at a time. And if it had to start with, you know, cashing out my 401k, I guess that's just a testament to how much I really believe in it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I really wanted the audience to know that that's how far into this you are. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to just really let that passion come through and let the audience kind of feed off of your passion. Because ultimately, definitely, leaders, administrators,
yeah,
they're looking for innovative ways to improve student achievement. That's what they want to do. And so many leaders are listening right now. So what would you say to them to try to entice them to give you, 30 minutes of their time to talk about this? Just quick 60-90 minute pitch. What would you say to them, in addition to the wonderful things that you've already shared? What would you say to them to get them to give you that 10-30 minutes of their time? What would you say?
I got to be honest, this is not something that I feel is, how do I say, in sales, there's a lot, certain things, there's a long sales cycle you have to go through.
Right,
process, and, there's a product committee, and I understand every school, every administrator, every teacher, everyone's got their own process, but this particular idea, I am not coming in and trying to change the curriculum or, this is not like a political approach by any means.
Right.
Or this is in my mind, because I'm not an educator. Right. And I sincerely think that we do have a good education system, and it's not really about sitting here and saying, oh, I could do it better. It's really more of like uplifting it and supporting it. Right. So if you're a parent in the community, yeah, I get it. You're going to be like, oh, I pay my property taxes. Where's that money going? Like, That's not the point. The point is like when you're in the community, it's like a partnership.
Yes.
Right. Schools are going to be fine with, us coming forward and doing some of this free work. And I'm here to bring schools value, really. It's not just about a piece of furniture, and I'm not trying to make big changes. What I'm really here to do, honestly, is give your students choice. I'm here to give your students ownership. I am on the teacher's side. So I have 3 kids under 8. What do I want for my kids? I want the same thing you want. I want their attention.
Mm-hmm.
The same exact thing, right?
Yes, and absolutely.
So
preach
if
it.
I can give you that, so if I can give that through, a change in environment, right, with a small investment. I mean, you got to pay for desks anyways, right? And value is value. If you have paid an extra few dollars for a stand-up desk, and we're changing the dynamic and the culture and the accountability and the experience,
yes,
then I believe that there's major value behind that. And I have to say, like, we're in a world right now where I get it. A principal is going to be sold. The ed tech world is booming, right? Everyone, download my app. It's going to change your life. Well, look, there's a lot of technicalities and in-servicing and implementation and project management, a lot of things that go into app implementation.
Correct.
I'm talking about removing one piece of furniture, replacing it with another, and watching the entire culture and experience, a human experience, happen. I mean, think about, you take that one thing, 200 plus days per year, that child gets to walk in the room, and I have podcasts to prove it. I just posted one of our teachers saying this. She said, now every day my students are getting engaged in self-awareness, where they may come into the classroom with a little anxiety, right? And they don't want to sit down. Maybe they want to stand up, or maybe they want that little sofa or the yoga ball, or they have that choice. They can now start maneuvering their decisions around how they feel, which essentially
that is powerful.
Self-awareness.
That is very, really? Very powerful. Yes, I like that.
And that's what, her content was telling, what she was telling us that on the interview. And it's not me saying it. That's why I like the test pilots, because I want to hear what the teachers have to say. I want, the students. Mm-hmm. And when I'm hearing this stuff, it's just, it's very powerful. So, yeah, so if I was talking to an administrator or a decision maker, I would say, look, I'm really not here to make gigantic changes in your game. I get it. You're very busy. There's a lot on your plate. But what we want here is student attention and engagement and interaction and leadership. And crazily enough, yes, I have to say, a piece of furniture can impact those components.
And that is just It's so wonderful because that's what it's all about. It's about getting their attention, and you use the word engagement, and that's what we're all about as well. We want the students to be engaged in the learning process and focused so that they can master the daily objective. And so that's awesome. And you know what? I love your heart as well, because you're right. It's not about, you know, being all salesy. It's just about, you know, doing what's best for the kid. And so one of the things that I tell teachers, because I do workshops on love and logic, it's just a classroom management system. But in education, often we hear there are different initiatives and programs that come and go, and people sell these programs like, this is the difference maker. This is what's going to turn your school around. You're going to see a huge spike in student achievement. And that it never works out that way. And so what I tell teachers is I tell them, hey, look, we're just going to try an experiment here. We're not necessarily certain of what the outcome will be. We have some ideas as to what the outcome could be because we've done the research, just like you have, you know, with the stand-up desks. But let's just try an experiment. And so I love your heart because it sounds like that's the same kind of attitude that you have with the desks, and the same kind of attitude you have if you were speaking to an administrator about possibly utilizing these desks in a classroom or two, or maybe all of the classrooms.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. I really do, because what, you know, a lot of times when we consume these messages, you know, I understand where people are coming from, where they think that I'm saying the whole classroom or the whole school needs to be monopolized by stand-up desks and sitting is the new smoking, I get it. You know, we're seeing that in the workspace right now where, you know, there's a marketing stuff that sitting is the new smoking, it's bad for you, all these studies coming out that, you know, sedentary, I get all that. But really what we're trying to achieve in the test pilots is get understanding of the child engagement, the child behavior, you know. I mean, I don't know, maybe, and my test pilots are everything. They tell me everything. It could have been the opposite. They could have been like, look, sorry, these students don't care about this stuff. But that doesn't seem to be true. They seem to, and again, it's in my household and it's in our four test pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher email me or text me a picture or a video of his problematic student. So I just first saw the video and it's up and like, you know, super focused on their work, and it was like about a 10-second video, and then at the bottom he counts the text, and that's the most problematic kid in the entire school.
Wow.
Afterwards, that the reason, like, this is a kid that was coming from a rough situation, a rough home, and just constantly frustrated, no one's hearing him out. He walks into his class and the teacher's like Ricky Walker, I played high school baseball with this guy, actually. He's the teacher. That's how I got the test pilot. But I told my student that we're getting stand-up desk, and I asked if he wanted to stand. He said, heck yeah. Like, went through a couple days of just literally standing up the whole time just because he was merely so excited that someone was actually, like, showing him that they cared. And so he said, now he's got a group of players that literally wait at the line at the door to get into the classroom because they're so excited to get to choose a stand-up desk. And he usually lets them rotate. You know, they're not really fighting over it, but and so let me hit on a point there. You know, I just kind of thought about.
Go ahead.
And if I am talking to an administrator of not just the elevator speech, but maybe the next step after that, if they say, okay, we love your elevator speech, you know, what's next? I would say, from my experience in running these test pilots for the last year now, and just now doing a new refresh of interviews and feedback, you know, I wanted to do long-term and short-term feedback. And now that I have the long-term feedback, I have to say that, you know, the experience from these teachers, from this one particular teacher, was a six-week experience. And she said she every day phased in something different. So one week or one day, I think she was doing it like on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
She was, you know, introducing the medicine ball, and then the next week she'd introduce the stand-up desk, and then the next week she introduced the yoga mats. And then after a six-week period of just kind of slowly, gradually talking through this thing and communicating about it, she said after a month and a half, she's in a full flexible classroom. Kids know the expectation. They come in, they make a choice. She's like, and as soon as everyone's locked and loaded on what choice they've made, she's like, it's just a beautiful thing. And as a teacher who's been in education for 16 years and a you know, official certified teacher for 7, so she's always been in a traditional setting. And she said, yeah, there was fear up front on the implementation, but she gradually phased it in, and now she said she'll never turn back.
Wow, that is amazing. So if because you mentioned your podcast and you've done a number of interviews and you're big on social media as well. So what I want you to do is I want you to put that information out there. How can we get in touch with you so that, you know, there may be an administrator who is interested in the idea of doing a pilot program. So how can we get in touch with you? Give us your information, please.
Yes, absolutely. That's how the best way is to go straight to our website, standupourkids.com, and just go to the contact us page. Feel free to check out some of our content. We have some articles and videos and just some general concepts on why flexible learning is important. So definitely check out standupourkids.com. Also check us out on Instagram at standupourkids. Or Twitter at Stand Up Our Kids, and those that's going to start you and put you in the right direction as to what we're thinking and messaging it, where you know what our purpose is and what we believe in, and just you know I'm big on content and I'm big on you know continuing to keep an open line of communication. So go to our website, go to Instagram, go to Twitter, check us out. We're on Facebook as well, and just keep the conversation live.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Absolutely. And again, that's standupourkids.com. Is that it?
Yes. Standupourkids.com.
Standupourkids.com. Go check him out. Contact him if you want to, if you're looking to increase engagement, give students choices, go ahead and go to standupourkids.com. There's a contact form. That's how they can get in contact with you. That's the easiest way. Is that what you said?
Yes, exactly. So okay. They can just once they go on there, it'll email me directly, and then I'm, you know, I love to communicate via email if they want to have any one-offs or if they, you know, want to comment and collaborate on any of the social media platforms. I'm open game.
Absolutely. Well, Derek, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for stepping out there and doing this and believing in this so much that you were willing to put your own personal retirement money on the line. I think you're really onto something here, and I just wish you nothing but success. And you know what? The amazing thing about you being successful is that the kids are going to be successful as well. And so definitely, I mean that when I say I wish you success.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm really, really grateful you had me on the show. I'm a big fan of your podcast.
I appreciate it. Appreciate
and
it.
I'm super grateful.
Okay, I appreciate it so much. Kind words from Derek Lopez from Stand Up Our Kids. Thank you so much for being on the show, and have a great day, sir.
Take care now.
Okay, you too. So, wow, that's just outstanding. And again, he is not an educator, doesn't have an educator's background, but he is all into this idea in terms of helping students succeed. And that's what you need in your community if you're really, really going to see that huge jump, that huge movement in student achievement. You need people like that who are passionate, and they don't necessarily have to be educators. So again, I want to just encourage you to go to marvinbird.com/Amazon, support the things that we're doing here. If you want, an easier way to find that link would be to go to our Facebook page. That would be Facebook/MarvinBird.edu. And if you look at that pin post, that'll take you to the link so that you can order off of Amazon and also support the things that we're doing here as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to listen. And if you are getting your tonsils out in the near future, I'm with you. I understand. If you have any questions, you can ask me. Again, that's at Marvin Bird on Twitter, and I definitely will be praying for you. So thank you so much. And until we meet again, please take care of those children.